This is CliffCentral.com.
Yes. Good morning, everybody. It is Thursday, which means the burning platform. It means lots of interesting things, cool people popping in, and a bunch of stuff. In fact, Pumi Mashiho is sitting right here. Look at her. Look at her in all of her glory.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
She survived.
What did she survive?
Oh, she was telling me just before we started the show.
What happened to you?
She's been sick and quarter to dying.
What happened to you?
Yeah, because apparently it's not swine flu, but I can tell you that the flu is a bit of a swine. And I have been sick.
But what happened? What?
Like, have you, like,
how did
this
you get
flu?
It? How do you get this?
How I did I get this flu, like, how from could sleeping I, with the enemy?
How could I avoid this?
I think you're pretty well on your way to avoiding it if I don't spread it. But I don't think I'm infectious anymore.
You mean you could be infectious?
I could be. Who knows?
Oh,
who knows?
Jesus. Don't tell me that. You're going to spoil my whole morning. I just want to go
What's
home.
What's the protocol? Because I did think about this. Did you see the article a couple of weeks ago with the nurse from Hortesgier who's never had, like, taken a day off?
Yes, who was retiring.
Right?
20 plus years has never taken a day off.
Now, she must have been sick once or twice.
Apparently not. Because, like, she came to work, right? And I was thinking about it. What's the protocol? I'm like, the studio is like the small, tight space. There's no windows to open, all of that. Am I, you know, should I go? Should I stay home? But I feel bad. I feel like it's a dereliction of duty. I mean, I only come here once a week.
Ooh, dereliction of duty.
No, but you sound okay, because yesterday Ben was in. He sounded terrible. He sounded like he was blocked up from asshole to mouth.
Gareth, I don't want to freak you out even more, but there are two and a half sick people in the office right now.
Two and a half? There's a half person in the office?
I'm the half.
Who?
Oh.
I'm the half because I could tell that I was getting sick at the beginning of this week. Then I went straight to my GP.
You're a hypochondriac, so I'm worried about you.
Oh, that tickle. It starts with a little tickle in your throat, then it's downhill from there. But there are two people who are also sick here. It's just that time of
it's
the
season. It's that time of the year. It's that time of the season.
I know.
I
hate it so much.
But also, like, I saw a thing about the Department of Health. I read an article about this flu being really, really bad.
Yeah.
But it definitely, they didn't say it was swine flu. And no one was, like, throwing that around.
Right? Oh, that's a relief.
But there was, in this article that I read from a, you know, reputable publication, did say that, you know, unconfirmed numbers of people who have died. And I thought, what? People dying out here from the flu?
And then, so freaky.
Then I saw a representative from the Department of Health talking about, no, this flu isn't as deadly as people are talking. It's just a strain of flu.
I don't believe the Department of Health. Look how badly they run everything. I'm not interested in their. I'm not going to believe them. If they say to me there isn't swine flu, I think there is. That's how little I trust the Department of Health. Who's the new Minister of Health?
Off the top of my head, I'm not sure.
Because it was Aaron Motsoaledi. I don't know who it is now. someone.
The silver lining for me is always the medication I get to get.
What do they give you for suspected? Because, you know, he doesn't know whether he really has it or not. Suspected flu. What did they give you?
Yeah, it's just I've been suffering from a sore throat and feverish symptoms. So
yeah, that's called a cold. It's not as bad as the flu.
Look, it could be swine flu.
So
could
what
be mad
I did
cow
decide,
disease.
What I did decide
could
this
be an
week.
Undiscovered.
So
something.
What did they give you? Hang on, I just want to know what he's happy. He's I got so happy
concussion,
about his medicine.
Everything.
I got like five different things. Two of them with codeine, and I specifically asked for codeine.
What does that do?
See, I don't think they still give codeine like that. I don't think it's like after Little Wayne and that cup of his. I think codeine.
That's exactly That's exactly why I was like, you know what? Kudos to my doctor. He got my back. Oh, I had a little slurp of it because it's a syrup. I had a slurp of it. I swear.
Balsia wants a scissor.
25 minutes afterwards, the room was spinning. I thought, now it's going on. So, Gareth, this morning we were chatting. Gareth says, how did you sleep? I'm like, well, funny you should ask.
Like a bum. Yeah.
What I did decide I'm going to do after this week is I'll be getting myself for my garden. And I also found out that, because I've always known it as umhlonyane, which is the Zulu word for it, right? Yeah. But the English word, guys, is African wormwood.
Apparently, this stuff is magical.
This stuff is magical. It's like we grew up on this stuff. This is my grandmother. You have that little tickle. My grandmother boils umhlonyane. It tastes terrible. Tastes terrible.
But it knocks everything out.
Mara, you know what it does? It roundhouse kicks everything out of your body.
Sangoma Mashiko over here. I just want to ask, so Gugu, you've been here a week now. Have you ever heard such a hypochondriac in your life as Sia? He thinks he's going to die every time something happens to him.
Did you hear him coughing yesterday?
What, was he putting on a big cough?
Yeah, he sounded like he was just like going to go to the ER at any moment.
I think I might have a recording.
No.
Sia, you were coughing.
I don't want to admit that, because also admitting it makes you more sick.
Well, he was sitting... Listen to this, how pathetic Sia is. And I think it's just attention seeking. He goes and sits at the window over here because there's sun that comes in through that window, right? I mean, his office is cold, so I understand. I don't like the cold in my office, but that's where I work. So Sia goes, I just put on another jacket. Sia goes and sits at the window. He puts on his hoodie. And then he sits there going...
Guys, I've never seen anything so horribly feverish.
Pathetic. It is just so pathetic.
And it was just so frustrating to me because I couldn't take like proper rest. That's it. That's exactly how I sound. There was some...
Happy 420.
Yes.
That was him yesterday, right?
Yep. And you know, it's like when he does it, he wants people to feel sorry for him. See ya.
Does he do it and then look around to check who's seen you?
I'm not even looking at him at that time.
Yeah.
Not even, guys. Right. I was just trying to save myself, trying to make it through the day.
Hoodie.
I was having a tough time.
Does the hoodie have a little fur?
No. But it does make me feel better.
But it's also big dramatic sneezes, right? Yeah. It's not little...
It's not an under the breath kind of...
Yeah.
So what should I tell my body? I should say it must relax and calm down when I'm not in control right now. There was a moment this week I thought I was going to pass out as well. Ooh, yes, guys, I need to die for you to take me seriously then, clearly.
Oh.
Well, see, cry wolf.
Oh.
The number of times there's been nothing wrong with you and you've said, oh, I'm so sick. Now we don't believe you.
I think that what I love is the fact that he's here feeling sick.
No, no.
He's not staying at home by himself. Because he'd get no
attention.
No. What did you call it earlier?
Get no attention at home.
What did you call it? I'm committed. Committed to the job. Work needs to be done. I'm here, all right.
Oh, all right.
Yeah. Your job can be done from anywhere. That's why you've got a laptop.
No, they're very important meetings that we had to do this week.
That's right.
Speaking this afternoon.
So you're also spreading all of your...
No.
You're spreading your germs all over the place.
No, work still, regardless, needs to be done. I'd rather die in the front line.
Ah, man.
But die quietly, so yeah, that's the key.
Oh.
Yeah, there we go.
Thank you so much for the emotional support here, folks. I really feel loved and cherished.
We do love you, Sia. We don't want to see you not here.
Thanks. And just as long as it's not the swine flu. So how are you feeling with your flu, coldy
yeah,
symptoms?
Come on.
Are you like on the way,
and what
done
do you,
with
no.
it?
What do you do, Pums? You said you're gonna boil this wormwood stuff, but what do you do usually? Like there are people suffering from this now. Help them. Think of them.
So, I don't know. Honey and water. So teaspoons of honey.
Yeah.
Deals with the tickle in the throat, right? Because also I'm trying to like not take lots of like chemically stuff, right? So you're like, honey.
But codeine is your friend.
Honey.
Yeah.
Lemon water. Lots of liquid. Lots of water. Kanekho also had the flu. And he, he so little and already with the man flu. It is just unbelievable for me, right? It's so little. It's like... It's like hardwired for the man flu. He was also like you say, oh, mommy,
yes.
What can I do, right? He wouldn't feed the dog. And again, I was like, dude. This
your responsibility.
I then thought, this is a teachable moment. I was like, listen here, young man. When I'm sick, do you not get food? And he was like, yeah. I'm like, even when I'm sick, I make you food, hey? You got to make the dog food. And I thought, teachable moment.
But he was having none of it.
Well, I was having none of it either.
Oh. So who cracked him? He was the one who cracked.
Yeah. I'm his Someone mother, would have to it. Give in.
Hey, did you see this little girl who's like an international dancing sensation?
Love her.
Okay, she was found on ENCA. Listen to this quickly. Take a listen to this. This is obviously a news report.
Breaking out all the moves.
So here it
is. In a moment of pure cuteness, little Ivana Campbell can be seen breaking out.
I wish you, Veka Rangappa, would be a little more excited about a good news story. It seems like she's waiting for, like, when the child died of cancer.
Oh.
Like, she's building up to. Listen to how miserable she sounds about the story. It's a great story. Her face looks like she's just. She's just seen Jeremy Maggs' genitalia because she's not very impressed.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. I mean, she's really not happy about this, and she should be thrilled.
Gareth, I can't unhear that.
Little Ivana Campbell can be seen breaking out all the moves in a dance routine many are calling impressive. Now, one of her dance videos has caught the eye of Hollywood film star Will Smith, and he says this girl has life figured out.
And they show some clips of her dancing, and it's all very cute. She's like, what, 5, 6 years old?
Mm. Yeah.
She's from PE.
Yeah, well, okay, well, that's the end of that story.
So when I saw this clip show up on my timeline, and there's a car that drives by, first I thought, this looks like a distinctly South African girl, because I saw it on an international person's timeline.
Okay.
I thought, this girl looks South African, but where's this township? I don't know this township. And the car drove by, so then I paused it and I like made the video,
because
I totally wanted to see the number plate, and it was a South African number plate. I was suitably proud.
That's very impressive. Good for this little girl, though.
I mean, she's so cute.
She'll get a little bit of international attention. She certainly got some from Will Smith, mm-hmm. and apparently some other people.
Amongst others.
You know, the place, if you can pull a dance move, the place to end up is the Ellen DeGeneres Show.
True.
Because then Ellen can learn something new to do to her guests.
Instead of irritating us about nothing, about something she knows nothing about, the elephants in Botswana.
Is that what she said? She was talking about them?
Oh, God.
What did she do?
Oh, she was among the first of the celebrities that got onto the bandwagon. You know, Botswana's wanting to cull a whole lot of elephants.
Because
they have overrun the place. There are so many elephants. I mean, Botswana's got... They send elephants to other African countries.
Try having an elephant in your back garden, Ellen DeGeneres. See how well your trees survive that.
Oh, my goodness.
And then try having 5,000 of the things.
She was the first one of these celebrities to climb onto the Botswana government. And then also one of my pet peeves, Botswanian. Like, what? There's no such thing as a Botswanian anything.
Botswanan.
Right? Botswanian government. Like,
No.
Anyway.
Drives me
she
crazy.
Should just dance. Leave us alone.
Well, I've always found Ellen a little bit irritating. I've got to be honest. Look, I don't watch these House for Our shows. I didn't like any of these daytime.
Even Oprah.
Mm. I never liked Oprah. I grudgingly learned to respect Oprah because she's been so fantastically successful. And it's undeniable that she was the queen of TV talk, right? Undeniable. But when Oprah used to come on and she would talk about just bullshit and all these housewives would sit in the audience and clap along hoping that there would be a car at the end of it for them, I just didn't get it at all. And then I realized later on, like, you know, what Oprah does is she gives people hope. She fills up their lives with something meaningful, because a lot of these... I mean, it's mostly women who watch her show. And a lot of them don't have a lot going on. They have to look after their kids. They have to deal with a irritating, boring husband. They have to cook meals. They have to wash clothes. They have to clean the house. And then Oprah is like the hour or the 45 minutes they get during the day to feel like someone at the top end of society, this fabulously successful and down-to-earth woman, she cares about them. That's their moment to. It's their moment to feel special. Oprah Winfrey. I get it now, and I feel bad about how much I hated that show without any good. Because it's not for me.
Mm.
Not everything's for me. You see, I also realized this at some point. I grew up, and I went, "Oh, right, it's not all about you."
So I'm just watching Sia's face to see if he's approving of all of the things that you're saying, and so that I can save you from the wrath of Sia, because you know Sia doesn't want anybody saying bad things about Oprah.
Wrath, he's too sick to muster up a shout.
Yes, am I right? Kev, you understand, yes.
I mean, really, like, a lot of people's lives are pretty horrible, and if you can make their life a little bit better. And she used to come on, and it was that, first it was Reach Out and Touch, or it was there was some other theme song, and it was like, let's just connect, and this is our time together. Mm. And she'd bring on authors who had interesting books for all the housewives to read. And she'd bring on people who told interesting life stories. And she used to interview celebrities. I mean, there was a point where Oprah was the place for celebrities to go to unburden themselves of some horrible life story. You know, like they were abused by their uncle when they were little or whatever. And then Oprah would sit and say, tell me your story. And, you know, all these people who had similar like lives in the Midwest where, you know, they would be in these horrible families with terrible things that happened to them. They would all go, oh, you see, Oprah cares about us. Like, she's representative of all of us. And I like that. I think she played a very, very important role.
But I think part of what she did, and to speak to why Ellen still works and a lot of these shows still work, is that it's very middle ground content.
Yeah.
It's not highbrow intellectual conversation. It's
right.
not hard watching or hard listening to.
And Oprah would get excited about things, and she would be emotional about stuff. And most people are like that.
You know, she could take a hard conversation to have and break it down for the layman to understand. And that's why, you know, you can switch Ellen on and you watch her dancing, and then she plays a game, and then she makes this tweetable moment, and that's it.
You know what I saw about 2 weeks ago? Well, at the beginning of the month, Pride Month, right? And and I thought, oh gosh, so glad for Oprah to be on the right side of history. Because there's a clip doing the rounds also on social media of a whole lot of when Oprah had a coming out kind of episode where it wasn't fashionable for people to be talking about gay rights. And Oprah had a big kind of episode of with like, let's just hear you out, you know, let's just hear you out. What do you think? How are you feeling? What, you know, and just a whole lot of people coming out to their friends and family on the show.
She's
as
like,
well.
Yeah.
And I was like, girl, this was like in 1990.
She was a pressure valve. She was letting, as Sia says, ordinary people feel, first of all, that their stories mattered, that they had a place, and letting them tell their stories, letting them kind of let off some steam. It was a release, because all these other shows were aiming either too high or they were like Jerry Springer.
Or also in the 80s weren't even talking about issues at all. You know, to cry on television in the 80s was a no-no.
Well, Oprah perfected that.
You know, to talk about, I'm an alcoholic, I cheated, I'm a drug addict.
Everybody, people used to, there was Sally Jesse Raphael.
You do and not do that.
And Phil Donahue.
Then Ricky came around, Ricky Lake.
People were out there, What I think But one of the things that Oprah did incredibly well is the timing between her sharing of her story, kind of as a permission, as giving permission to everybody else.
Whereas
all of the other
Phil
guys
Donahue
like,
didn't
I'm
get,
holding this,
he
I'm
didn't
holding
get
this
molested
microphone.
By his dad.
Oh, jeez. Wow.
They're like, I'm holding this microphone. You tell me all of your stuff. I'm going to sit here and judge, maybe. Mm-hmm. You know, it was a little bit.
You're right. She put herself in there as well.
And Oprah kind of did the classic, you know, like when you go to a psychologist or whatever, it's never like Fraser. It's not like on TV, right? They're not just sitting there listening to, like, telling you stuff, and they're just sitting there looking at you, and you're just talking. But what Oprah does is that classic thing that kind of gives you a little bit about herself, and then you feel like, we can connect around this thing. And because she's shared her secret, you feel more at ease at sharing your secret. Mm-hmm. She did that very well.
Yeah.
But then to bring it back to Ellen, it's quite interesting because I read an article a few weeks ago about, you know, it was two parts to it. The first was that Oprah wouldn't have been able to survive to 2019. This digital migration and how to then move over to the political climate that we're in, and then secondly, how Ellen is dwindling because of this current climate. You know, Ellen now is trying to voice her opinion on things. She's trying to, you know, rah-rah, and yes, I get it, and she's feeding into this monster of everyone being politically correct, and that isn't working out for her. And I'm paraphrasing here, but you know, this
is this what they were saying?
I'm paraphrasing. This article was on The Guardian, and the headline was along the lines of how Ellen DeGeneres is even bored of her very own show. Because she's taking more and more time off. She has all of these guest hosts coming on. She doesn't do things that she used to do in the beginning. She doesn't even dance anymore. And she does things for shareable moments.
That's interesting, because I watched a clip on YouTube. I don't ever see Ellen. I don't even know what channel.
I've never watched an episode of Ellen. I'm what just having a moment
she,
right
what
now.
What channel would she be on?
She's now on Vuzu 116.
All right. It's not a very big channel.
No, because she
it's
used
got like
to be
500
on like
people watching Mnet. It every week. Yeah, I mean, that's ridiculous. So obviously here it's not as successful as people had hoped. Because if it was, they'd have advertising and they'd be on a big channel. So clearly, it's not really making the kind of headway it used to. But I saw this clip and it did look to me, like now you say it makes sense. It looked to me like she was bored.
Yeah.
She was like, I just can't wait for this thing to finish so I can go home to that really hot girlfriend of mine. Is it wife?
Wife.
Yeah, they're married.
Yeah.
So and I can imagine. See, also, she talks. We played a clip just yesterday or the day before of Jay Farrow, and he was on Ellen. And it looks to me a lot of the time like she just wants to get it over and done with. Maybe she should quit. Maybe it's time for her to just give it up, because there's so much money, obviously. And she is the heir that Oprah didn't know she was going to have, because no one else is really at that level in TV talk during the day.
What? You mean Wendy Williams?
Yeah, Shane, God bless Wendy Williams. I mean, I prefer her, but you know what? She was saying, what did she do in that clip that I suddenly thought that was a bit of a giveaway? She's like leaning back in her chair, and you can see she's got this like very deadpan look on her face. Ellen used to be a hilarious comedian, and a lot of her comedy was in her facial expressions. And she was very sarcastic and, you know, all that kind of thing. But she talks about all her celebrity friends now, which Oprah, to her credit, never did. Like, Oprah's the biggest connector in Hollywood, right? Mm. Oprah knows everybody. She's in with this one and that one, and she could call up Spielberg, and she could call up Will Smith, and she could call up Barack Obama. She's friends with everybody. Everyone loves Oprah. There's nothing Oprah can't do. Ellen tells everybody about all her celebrity friends. Like with this, with Jamie Foxx on that clip, she was saying, oh yeah, Jamie and I sometimes call him up and then we go over to each other's houses. And like, to ordinary people in the crowd, that is the worst thing you can do, because they get annoyed. They're like,
you hang out with Jamie.
Yeah, I thought you were one of us. This is what Oprah always used to do well. She always used to, even if she was pretending, she was one of us, you know? And Ellen is not, she doesn't get that. Ellen is actually keen to be friends with everybody.
Mm.
She wants to be up there with the celebrities. She wants you to know that she's best friends with Jamie Foxx.
Oh, and it's not really working for her. Mm-mm. This article also further, last point, it further goes on to say how now her charitable deeds seem too gimmicky. Because you now know the show will start, she'll have a monologue, she'll now have someone else dance around the studio for her, she'll do like two segments of games that'll hopefully go viral because everyone will share that video on social media. Then she has a celebrity guest, then she has a teacher who has been working so hard and selflessly, and then, oh, to celebrate you, Target is going to give you $100,000, and then bye-bye everyone, see you tomorrow. Like, that is now
That's
the staccato formula of her show. Yeah. So I was surprised Ellen has signed on to, I think, 2022. I thought this was really going to be her last year. Anyway.
All right, well, that's all we got time for, to smash Ellen into
the
ground.
Oh, no, shame.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Apologies for anyone who wanted more Ellen destruction today, but that's all we got time for. Five things you need to know. By the way, Anthea's going to pop in because she's got a book out, Anthea Gardner. She's usually here on a Monday. We said to her, come in today. Her new book is called Make Your Money Work for You. We'll find out about that just now. All right. You know, it is harder than ever to be a kid in South Africa.
Yeah.
We've been talking a lot this week about these schools with stabbings and people stealing from each other. It's not safe at Forest Hill, at Sea Point. All these schools which are being rocked by these horrible stories. Now it turns out, 17 children have been removed from a care center in Woodstock following allegations of abuse, the Western Cape Social Development Department said on Wednesday. They took the decision to move children from the Al Noor Child and Youth Care Center after conducting a preliminary investigation into a number of serious complaints of alleged physical and sexual abuse there. Ah, oh, this upsets me, man. I do not have a lot of time in my life for the kind of monster that will abuse a child, particularly when these kids, and they're obviously in this center.
Vulnerable.
But yeah, because they don't have anyone else, right? This is their last refuge. And then these predators go in there and they take advantage of these children. So apparently the department will conclude some investigations and find alternative longer-term placement for the kids. I just want to get these kids somewhere.
Bless you.
Bless you.
Sia, what did I say to you this morning? What's my problem in life?
Well, dealing with people right
Humans.
Now. Humans.
That's the problem with this article. Yeah. Humans.
It just it really upsets me. Anyway, EWN are reporting this morning in other news that the parents of children who died from rat poison at Westdean Creche are demanding answers. Imagine you send your children to creche and they die from poisoning with rat poison. The mothers of two kids died after apparently ingesting rat poison at an illegally run preschool in Westdean, here in Johannesburg, say they want answers. On Wednesday, they accused the owners of the facility about lying about what really happened. Both toddlers, aged 1 and 2, were buried last week. Mm. One of the mothers, Antoinette Fasahi, said she wanted someone to be held responsible. I can't just keep quiet, just bury the child and be like, okay. No one has explained anything to me. It doesn't work like that, she says. You need to know, as a mother, what happened to your child. Fanula Wabet, who lost her one-year-old son, denied that the children had died because of the food she cooked, as the owners of the creche claimed.
No,
they're saying it was rat poison. Why would I cook food and poison my own child? It's just crazy, right?
I don't know what to believe. I don't know what to make of it. I cannot even imagine what these parents are going through.
It's just horrible. The preschool has since been shut down, and the department said it would ensure that it stayed that way. Ugh, what a horrible story. Awful, awful stuff. Imagine you're a parent, and that's what you're dealing with. And then, as if that isn't bad enough, I hate to pile on the bad news this morning, but a little kid called Michael Kumpape obviously died in that pit toilet, remember?
Yeah, 5-year-old? 2 years ago.
Something. Right, exactly. Yeah. That's going to the SCA, the Supreme Court of Appeal. The Limpopo High Court in Polokwane dismissed claims by his family, who was seeking damages from the government for the grief caused by his death. In 2014, 5 years ago, Michael drowned when the pit toilet at Mahludumela Primary School in Sesheho in Limpopo collapsed when he was using it. An awful, awful death. Just awful. And they're appealing sections of the 2018 Polokwane High Court judgment, which dismissed some of their claims.
Shoo, that was 4 years ago now.
5, 2014.
Sheesh. Right?
Yeah, it's just awful, awful stuff. I get so upset when I hear these things about, like, a little kid goes to the loo, 5 years old. I mean, I've got a 5-year-old nephew.
Dude, I saw that on your... Was it on your Insta? Did you have him on your Insta? Were you driving around with him over the weekend?
I think that was the 3-year-old.
Is that the 3-year-old?
But this little 5-year-old, I imagine him. And you know, they're proud of themselves. They go off to the loo on their own. You know, this is what they do. They're a little adult now. They think they're a big big kid. I'm growing up. I'm going to go off to the loo. It's at school. You don't expect your kid to be in danger at school. They go off to fall into a pit toilet and end up drowning in the septic tank underneath.
Hmm.
The devastation these parents must feel. Sense of guilt and responsibility, even though it wasn't their fault. Because the thing collapsed. It wasn't like they just fell into the toilet. This whole thing collapsed under them. It's just... it's unacceptable that we are still dealing with a situation where there are schools with these toilets. And the ANC say to us, oh no, we'll sort this out by, you know, 2032. That's their take on this. Oh, we'll sort this out, but give us another, I don't know, we need a big window of time. Clearly we can't sort this out. Oh, when it comes to stealing their share of an arms deal or of Eskom or of any of the other parastatals, government can do that like this.
Imagine.
I mean, even Batabile Dlamini admitted as much when she resigned. Like, oh, they're ANC wives who are benefiting from tenders. So it seems they can do things if they really want to. Do they give a shit about people's children dying in toilets? Hell no. And then Prince Andrew, do you remember who he is? Do you remember which one he is?
Do you remember who he is?
Oh dear.
Prince Andrew is the second son of Queen Elizabeth. And he used to be the spare, but then Charles had two kids and they've had kids. And now Andrew's completely unnecessary.
Yeah, he's now number 13 in line or something.
They should send these people out into the wilderness once they've become replaced in the line of succession. Anyway, Prince Andrew said on Wednesday he had...
They kind of do, don't they? We just pay for them. Like, well, the colonies.
Thank God we don't. Oh. No. We have nothing to do with paying for this lot. Thank God. But I mean, we're paying for our own... I drove past another Blue Light Brigade this morning on the way here.
Oh, wow.
After our own royal family. Yesterday. The ANC royal family. Anyway, Prince Andrew said on Wednesday he saw no reason why British businesses could not survive Brexit, and the recent visit of Donald Trump had shown him the issue would not affect US relations. But this is what a lot of people have been saying for the longest time, so this is hugely controversial, because you know the royal family meant to stay out of politics. But he holds these regular meetings. He's like an unofficial ambassador for British business. And he was talking to a lot of business people. So he's just relaying the conversations he had with them. But now all the Remainers are losing their shit, and they're like, oh, Prince Andrew has an opinion, and how dare he, and he likes President Trump, and that's not the story we want to hear. We want to hear how it's a disaster, because that's our whole thing.
Well, I will tell you this about Brexit and how bleak the world has become. You know, every year around this time, they make an announcement of the new word that's made it into the Oxford Dictionary.
Yeah, which one?
But also, just before that one, I think that one comes out in 2 weeks, there's also the children's lexicon. So into the children's dictionary.
Right.
And how bleak has the world become? Brexit is the word that made it into the children's lexicon.
Sure, the children's one?
Look, why?
The children gotta know.
Why?
This doesn't affect children. Brexit. What a terrible thing to do to the kids.
Brexit is the word that made it into the children's lexicon this year.
Batabile Dlamini says, I don't drink, I'm epileptic.
Oh?
Yeah. This is an article that's just come out. This is brand new, breaking news. Do you want to hear the breaking news? How much stomach do you have for this? I've even got a sound clip of her admitting that this is the problem. Right. So here it is.
We had three stocks to trade.
Oh, what is this?
We're trading stocks?
Government for some time, and there have been many reports about you. And you can imagine how the kids, the cousins, the sisters, the parents react to that. How did the negative, if you will, like some have described it, reporting around you affected them?
You know, with the kids, they're very strong. And even I think their schools have protected them in a particular way. And I never had or faced...
Oh my God, I would lose my mind. 5 minutes in this woman's company, I'd be tearing my hair out. Listen to how slow she is. There's definitely like... There's some... Her mind's addled. She sounds like an alcoholic, even if she says she isn't.
My child crying because something was said at school.
By the way, that sound you're hearing is one of those horrible ANC leather jackets rubbing against her cheap chair. All the time. It's her horrible leather jacket with ANC all over it. Listen.
Because of what came up in the news about me.
And the parents?
They've been very, very supportive, and more particularly my mother. Yeah. She's been very supportive throughout, and unfortunately, again, I was that sickly child at home. So I understand the real care of parents. They really took care of me. I would have an attack of epilepsy at school. And there was a time when my father went to school to say, okay, when she has an attack, wait for her to come all right. Also, when people kept saying, are you drinking? We had a discussion with them. And we ended up agreeing that I should go to my neurologist and find out why are people saying I'm always drunk.
I'm ready to move on. I'm ready to move on. Thank you, Gareth. I'm ready to move on.
That sucked the life out of the room.
Jesus,
what a boring woman.
She's a single parent.
I'm so glad.
Yeah,
I hope she... I
can't
really
believe we've just spent all this time listening to that.
To Batabi Letlamini.
And there's out there. We've got to talk about like people must make money, make their own money. Like, come on.
Well, do you think Batabile will find a job?
Well, she says...
Who's lining up to hire her?
She says she's using the pension money for her kids. So that's why. Part of her resignation.
Great. Okay, great. She was from the money. Dear Gardner, how are you?
Good morning. I am very well, thank you.
So I thought we'd help you out today because clearly you're really rubbish at promoting things. I mean, you've written this brilliant book and you are doing nothing to promote it. I haven't even seen you sharing it in your Facebook.
What are you talking about?
It's all over.
I had you on Monday and you didn't mention the book once.
Oh, sorry. We're talking about stock markets and interesting stuff.
Okay, well, your book is interesting. So congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Anthea's written a book called Make Your Money Work For You. Think big, start small. Mm. And I mean, listen, at this time in this economy, you've got your work cut out ahead of you. If you think people have any money for starters, because they don't. But you're going to help people to figure out the world of investing.
So I think I can't cover absolutely everything. And what this book does, I'm trying not to be that boring. Step one, save 25% of your salary. Step two, take out a unit trust. Step three, by step three, you're fast asleep, right? So I'm hoping this book is a bit of an introduction into the world of finance. So it'll explain exactly what a unit trust is, what an ETF is, where you should start, how you should do. There's a nice little questionnaire in there about how you should do your financial planning or how you rate yourself, whether you're a risk taker, whether you're risk averse, which asset class, and I explain asset classes, you should be invested in. So yeah, so it's really, it's a book for, it's the basics. It's absolutely the basics. And I'll tell you how it came about. So I grew up in a family of finance. My dad's a bank manager. And my sister, I was on TV one day and my sister phoned me and said, oh, so that's what you do for a living. I thought, you've known me all your life. How can you say that to me? She's in marketing. Anyway, so she phones me up a bit later and she says, okay, her and her husband, they've just had their second child. They need some advice. So I go off and we have dinner and we chat about where they need to be invested, what they're doing, what they've got in their pension plans, what they need to invest for their children's future, the whole story. And as I'm talking to her, like I can see her eyes glazing over. So I thought, you don't understand what I'm saying, do you? And so
most people don't, huh?
Yeah,
this is a sad thing.
That's what I'm beginning to understand. Mm-hmm. Or that's what I understood, which is why I wrote this book.
All right, so here's a little letter from Taryn who listens to us. She said, I annoy my family and friends by being unicorn poops positive most of the time. Sia and I could be besties. But listening to Anthea on your show this week is a huge eye-opener for me and explained what I've noticed in my own life. And by the way, she's also talking about Joe, who was on the show on Tuesday. Other than my home loan, I have no personal debt, but, and it's a huge but, I run an NPO, Like many NPOs, we rely on a small donor base. What we've noticed over the last 2 years is that donor base has consistently shrunk. Things that worked to raise funds in the past just don't work anymore, or raise a fraction of what they used to. Every month, I pick up the shortfall. This month, two of our donors didn't donate, which meant I had to put in over 6,000 Rand more than I usually do. Animals can't go hungry just because people didn't donate as much money as they usually did. And I can't blame the public. My husband got no raise last year, and his raise this year was 6%, but tax took more than half of it. So what do you do? I can't imagine what it's like for people who are unemployed or live on a pension with a massive debt. This economy has a knock-on effect for all sectors. I keep telling my kids to get their TEFL courses to go and teach English in China, where they can save 80% of their salary and still live very comfortably, according to my brother-in-law who does that, and then come back with a nest egg. Anyway, thank goodness for Sia and his good news, but please thank Anthea. Isn't that nice?
Oh, that's very kind. Thank you, Taryn.
Wonderful.
So I'm a trustee of a charity, and we have exactly the same problem. So we sit, and ours is Early Care Foundation, so it's early childhood development, and we've noticed exactly the same. So every single year, it's getting harder and harder to extract money from companies. And in fact, we're now having discussions around how do we turn our charity into a sustainable business, you know, so we're in the business of education. And I mean, do we really want to compete with the Curos or the Advertex of the world? I'm not sure. We're probably a feeder for them, but sure, it's tough out there at the moment, you know.
Yeah.
Everybody's feeling it. And so the other question is, well, if it's so difficult, like, how can I possibly save and invest money? I think a little goes a long way to saving and investing. And I'm quite frugal. Like, I don't spend much. And that's just because my dad was a bank manager. And remember those Auto Plus cards, the Bob cards?
Yeah.
Had one of those, right?
I mean, you've been driving the same car.
Forever. I don't care about the car. So I have certain spoils, and a car is not one of them. Like, I drive around the city. I don't need a fancy car. I do need a lot of travel, and I do need a nice holiday home here and there. But so we each have our thing. Like, I'm not,
sure.
I'm not completely unspending. Believe me, I can spend.
But Anthea, do you deal with the fear? I think one of the things that I've come to learn over the years from talking to lots and lots and lots of people is the finance thing combines two things that people are afraid of. People are very much afraid of numbers and dealing with numbers. And then the second thing that people are afraid of is confronting money and money issues. Yes. And so it's both those things, is counting and money. Ugh.
You've hit the nail exactly on the head. That's exactly what it is. People go, oh, finance, oh, numbers. But actually, I don't have that fear, obviously. I work in finance. I work with numbers all day long. In fact, like, I quite love numbers. So that's lucky for me. But I'm hoping that the book will help a little bit, because I actually, in chapter 8, page 140, I explain...
Halala. Oh, off the top of your head like that.
She just pulled that out of nowhere.
I wrote this. I should know.
Oh, Jesus. I don't remember what I wrote in my book. I didn't even know what my book was called.
I talk about compound interest, and I explain very simply what compound interest is. Now, it sounds like a really complicated, and I even put the mathematical equation into the book to show you that it is complicated, but guess what? There's a really easy way of doing it. And then there's something else called the rule of 72. I'll tell you about it very quickly. And this is how easy maths is. Like, people are like, oh, this is so scary. But if you know, like, if you figured out the shortcuts, or you've just thought about it a little bit, it's actually not that difficult. So the rule of 72 says that if you are earning a certain return, how many years will it take to double your money? So if you are earning, let's say, let's make this easy.
10. It's a nice round number.
If you're earning 10% per annum, how long will it take you to double your money? 72 divided by 10. What's that? 7.2 years. Is how long it'll take you to double your money. Now you know. Now when you go to the bank and the bank says, I will give you on your money market a rate of 7%, you know it's going to take you 10.2 years to double your money. Do you want to be there, or do you need to be in an equity or share portfolio where the average return per annum has been 16%? 72 divided by 16, I don't know what that is. Somebody work that out for me, please. It'll probably be 4 point something years, right?
So it's much 4.5 shorter.
Much, years. Yeah. So much shorter. So now you know what you're working with. And how easy was that?
Mm.
Well, no, we had to pull out our calculators. But I do get your sentiment.
The concept is easy.
Mm. No, sure. I think a lot of people also don't take personal responsibility for their financial affairs. They want someone else to look after it for them. So they hand it over to a financial advisor, or they take up some policy and they think that's going to save them. Or worse, they let their spouse or their friends or whoever else advise them.
Or even worse, do nothing.
Yeah, a lot of people feel like living in ignorance is better.
Mm.
It's like, ignorance, you know what, let me just have that credit card and I don't know what revolving terms will be, and I don't care about balloon payments because that's only in 5 years' time. It's a lot of ignorance.
Yeah, so definitely it's delay. And I must say, I think my industry is probably terrible when it comes to using jargon and keeping people out of that inner circle, right? So we use like the most ridiculous terms, like it's crazy, and they're actually very simple. And I know my industry, everybody's trying to be the smartest person in the room. It's like
that's
rubbish,
like too easy.
And so hopefully this book will go a little way to making people feel a little bit more comfortable when they go and speak to their financial planner or financial advisor. And say, well, actually, you know what? I've done the survey in Anthea's book, and I think I'm this. And then you can have an informed discussion about who you are and what you like. And if he says, well, what about unit trusts? Where you go, are they cheaper or more expensive than ETFs? Those are like real questions you want to be asking, and he should be able to, or she should be able to explain and answer it for you.
All right, and then you asked me to do a blurb for the book, which
I wrote
this whole paragraph, and then the publishers came back to me and said, that's too long.
Yeah, she said, no, you're not writing the book, Gareth. You're tempted, but
So eventually I said, okay, just take the last line, which is, Anthea works hard for her money, so hard for it, honey.
And everybody loves it.
So you better treat her right.
I couldn't even put that in.
Between you and the first lady, we've done okay.
Yeah, you got the first lady on the cover. That's nice. That's very nice. Okay, Anthea, so go out and buy the book. It is called Make Your Money Work for You.
Wait,
Think Big, Start Small.
Tell them about the launch. Hey, you people are bad at this.
There was a launch?
Yes, a launch. Sorry, I'm really
it's
bad
coming.
At this. I'm coming.
Oh, it's still coming.
So next Thursday.
I told you she was terrible.
Next Thursday at Exclusive Books in Hyde Park at 6 o'clock, we're going to be talking about the book and about these concepts like the Rule of 72.
Very good.
And if you're
and
in
the
Cape
launch
Town,
is free. Just get hold of Exclusive Books, events at Exclusive Books. Tell them that you want to come meet Anthea, buy the book, get her to sign it.
If you want to RSVP,
Jeez,
you can
I'm sending
email.
You a, oh, yeah. I'm sending you an invoice.
I just realized that's why I'm here with you guys.
All right, so
if you want to RSVP, you can email.
They have to play your theme song when you come on.
I was, Gareth, I was at a conference. I was speaking at a conference yesterday, and I said, did you bring my theme song? And the woman, she listens to us every single Monday. She says, oh, I should have brought it. She says, because it's like one of her favorite things on a Monday morning.
There we go.
By the way, the email address is events@exclusivebooks.co.za.
And please RSVP, because they're organizing snacks.
Oh. And they organize wine, because this is the other thing about
how is that the most the important thing for you?
Put me in Batabile. Put me in Batabile. They go to these book launches for the free wine.
Hey, I'm that girl. I like the wines.
You speak too fast for me.
All right.
Thanks, guys.
All right, very good.
She was hard for the money, so hard for it, honey. She was hard for the money, so you better treat her right. She was hard for the money, so hard for it, honey. She was hard for the money, so you better treat her right. I met her there on the
All right, there we go. There's Anthea. Oh, my God. That song is just so horrible. All right, when we come back, it's The Burning Platform.
This album is dedicated.
Very exciting.
That told me I never amount to nothing.
Kayas Tole will be joining us. Canton Pele, Pumi Mashiko.
When I was just trying to make some money to feed my daughter.
You can get hold of us too, 079-748-2090. Okay, you ready to start your day properly? That's what we're here for.
This is CliffCentral.com.